there, and welcome to the Church on the Ridge podcast. Before we head into our talk this week, we want to let you know about some ways you can find out more about us. Head on over to our website, churchontheridge.org, or download our mobile app. Also, feel free to check us out on Facebook and Instagram, where you can find out ways to live out your God-given purpose. We are so excited to share this week's talk with you, so let's go check it out.
Father, we do. We want to lift up the name of your son, Jesus. It's through the power of the resurrection, God, that we have power to make it through this life. I pray that tonight, God, relationships that are going through that storm, God, they would see the power of the name of Jesus. And God, we submit our lives to you. We say no to the work of the enemy that wants to destroy, that wants to divide, that wants to tear apart. And God, we lift you up. Jesus, you're our central figure, the reason for our existence. We bow before you, our King and our God. And I pray that, God, through your power, that people would latch onto you, hang onto you, walk them through those storms that David talked about. We love you, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Let it be. Please have a seat. And students, have a great night tonight with Pastor April and the team. Yay. And it was so cool. Sasha Chelnikov is here with mom and dad from Georgia. Welcome, guys. Natalia, there you are. Hi, Vlad. They have been wonderful, wonderful partners here at Church on the Ridge. I remember when they came, they had basically no church background, no sense of who God was, and now they're alive in Christ and walking it out, and God has brought them through cancer and yuck and a giant move, and thank you for visiting us tonight. And you may be here tonight, just kind of wandered in off the street or wondering, you know, what's going on. Well, you picked a great night, as Stephen said, because we're going to continue our relationship series. And it's you know, it's an amazing thing about relationships. We think we got everything worked out, and then when the relationship is not working out, it doesn't matter what else is working out. We're going to see tonight and hear tonight from one of the premier couples in our church, Kevin and Jamie Cumming. Yes. They came to us 9 years ago, something like that, almost nine years ago. And we've watched them have children. We've watched their marriage. We've watched their life. And it is a privilege to follow them. And I look forward to them sharing with us. We told you at the beginning that this marriage relationship series is designed to do three things: to encourage those of you who are struggling. Welcome to the party. You're not alone. We're in this struggle together, and we're going to give you some tools to walk out of that. We're going to encourage you that if your marriage is at the, you know, at the end of the rope, you're kind of at that point going, I don't think this is it. We're going to give it a last ditch. We're going to try church. There is hope for you. As you've heard Sandy and I's story and other stories that you're going to hear through this series, that if we can make it, God can do a great work in your life. There's a 100% chance that you can make it. And the third thing that we want to encourage you in is that you have to walk out those principles. And you have to take those bold steps. Sometimes they're steps of faith because it doesn't look like it's going to do anything. You've tried everything, and here God is going to ask you to do some things that are going to be hard. But we have a saying around here, if you do the difficult, you let God do the impossible. But we do need to do the difficult. So we're going to encourage you to take some of those bold steps in this series. And so at this time, we're going to welcome Kevin and Jamie. Let's welcome them in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you. And as one of the premier couples here at Church on the Ridge, we couldn't be more excited to spend a few minutes with you sharing our story. And if we haven't met, my name is Kevin, and this is my wife, Jamie. I'm actually on staff here as a discipleship pastor, and most of the really great ideas that coming out of this department, we've talked about, and they're really coming from Jamie. So as we are speaking today, I would take notes when she starts talking, and then I'll kind of drive us through the rest of the talk. Sound good? Okay. Well, yeah, Kevin and Jamie, we're the classic better together couple, right? Some things are just better together, like peanut butter and jelly, like cookies and milk and macaroni and cheese and Kevin and Jamie, right? Just a couple that is 100% compatible in almost every way and who God brought together in this oneness relationship, this covenant relationship we call marriage. Except we're pretty different. Once you get to know us, it's crazy how different we are in so many ways. And I was thinking about this the other day. And for instance, I like to see rules as more of guidelines, right? More of guidelines, where Jamie sees rules as like the law. Like if
like
we
rules,
play,
they're rules.
I still remember early on in our marriage when we were first together, we were sick, Jamie was sick, and we ended up missing church that morning. I know, crazy, right? And we didn't want to get everyone else sick. And later that afternoon, Jamie started to feel better. She had taken a nap and, you know, had eaten a bit. And I was like, Jamie, well, you're feeling better. Let's get a Christmas tree, right? It's like, you know, we're year one in marriage. Let's go get our first Christmas tree. And Jamie, oh, no, we can't get a Christmas tree because I miss church. I cannot do any activities. I cannot get a Christmas tree. That's the rule. So whose rule is that? I don't agree to this rule. And she goes, no. But then she thought about it. And that's been the rule growing up, right? And so it was just naturally the rule that she would continue to follow. And so we blew that rule out. We went and got a Christmas tree that day, and it went against everything Jamie believed in. I'll tell you what.
It was just the beginning.
Yeah. Just the beginning.
Slippery slope. Yeah, well, I don't know if anyone else has, like, piles of dirty clothes, you know, that show up in the bedroom. And when we got married, I was like, what are these piles of dirty clothes? Why don't you just put them in the laundry basket? Kevin's like, oh, those are medium dirty.
It's a thing.
Medium dirty? I was like, that's not a thing. I was like, they're either dirty or they're clean, and there's no medium dirty, especially for men.
But you use them again. It's just a lot of laundry otherwise. Or, I mean, there's the age-old pasta. Just for a second, how many of you guys like pasta? Raise your hand if you like pasta. See, Jamie? This is weird. I married the only person who doesn't like pasta. And so for 11 years now, we have not had pasta in our house. And I was telling this to our neighbor the other day, and he said they make some really good homemade lasagna, and he's actually going to sneak me some. Next time they make pasta. And Jackie invited us to the pasta feed at the club, so we're off. We're off to a great start here. Yeah. No, I know many of you guys are in the same boat as us. You got married and you found out there are some striking differences between you and your spouse. Mm-hmm. And this could be the same for any relationship. You start hanging out and you go, you're not like me in every way. This is weird. Why are you not like me? But then you grow to understand. And I'll tell you why our marriage works, though. Our marriage works because last week when Pastor Charlie and Pastor Sandy are up here speaking, who are, they're just pro, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I love hearing from them. So lower your expectations right now because, but they nailed it on the head. I mean, you could take that one principle and run it through the rest of the series. It's because before we ever met each other, we made a commitment to Christ. Mm-hmm. And that would be the foundation that everything we do, including our marriage, would be built upon. So the way we parent, the way we communicate, the activities we choose to do, at the very base level, at the very bottom level, everything is driven by this foundation that, no, we are going to honor Christ first. And it's been crazy because before we even met, we had these relationships with Christ. But Jamie, talk about, because before you even met me, you almost felt like you couldn't even be in a relationship because you had so much hurt and healing to overcome.
Yeah, I had a relationship with Jesus, and I was committed to my walk with Christ, but I just had so much baggage I was carrying around. I had a history of sexual abuse. I had a background in a family with a lot of addiction in it, and I just felt like I am not ready to be in a relationship. And so I did want to just make sure that there you guys have hope tonight if you have some sort of baggage that you're hanging on to and you feel like you're not good enough, because with Jesus, you can release that baggage and you can work through it. And it's hard work and it takes time and it takes healing. It takes time with Jesus, but you can get to a place where you can be in a healthy relationship. And when I met Kevin, I felt like I was at a place where I was ready to be in a relationship. I still had baggage, but I was ready to be in a relationship.
Yeah. And the reason we want to share that is because we know some of you are in relationships right now, and it almost seems like there's no hope. And it almost seems like this thing is broken. And one of the three things we want you to remember during this series is there is always hope when you bring Jesus into this situation. And so as you hear and you're growing in your faith, and maybe you got married first, and then you began to explore this idea of Christianity and who Jesus is in your faith, you're in the right place. This is where you should be. Even having that relationship with Christ before coming together, since being at Church on the Ridge for those years, our faith has grown tremendously. And it was, you made that comment last week in our group about how much you've grown these past few years.
And yeah. Our community group met on Monday and we were talking about, well, I was talking about when I first started coming to Church on the Ridge was like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I would sit in the seat and listen to Charlie's messages, and they would be, you know, control or anxiety or these, you know, topical, applicable sermons that I felt conviction of Christ. And I would go home and I'd turn over my Growing Deeper questions and I'd just start going through the questions. And I just feel so much conviction because it was like every point I needed to work on. And but it was an over a course of years of applying the messages and actually doing the hard thing and sharing in community group that I started to see growth. I mean, I remember, you know, maybe the second year and it would be a similar topic would come up and I would feel like I had made no progress. And it would be so frustrating.
Yeah.
But then now looking back, I can see that there has been growth. So if I do the hard thing and I apply the message to my life and ask God to help me, I do see growth bit by bit. And now I'm like, wow, in 9 years, I have made progress. So, you know, and that was just going to church and listening to the message and applying it. It's not, you know, anything extravagant that I was doing.
And here's the part I want to focus in on tonight, is because that growth happened in group.
Yeah.
And you can work on something, and then a year later, you find yourself working on the same thing because there was no accountability. Mm-hmm. Right? You did it for a week or maybe a month, but then you just kind of let it slip away. But in our group context, man, we had people who were reminding us, hey, remember what you committed to work on. Sometimes I make these commitments. I go, man, that was a great message today, and I'm gonna practice this. And then I do it all week, right? And then by the next week, I'm on to something else, and I've completely forgotten about what I already said I was going to work on. And so in that group context, we had people holding us accountable, encouraging us as we were growing. And if you know our motto here at Church on the Ridge, it's life, community, purpose. And we talk about coming to life in Christ and then growing in the context of that community so that you can then find your purpose and begin living that out. And that's what we want to focus on today with our marriage talk, is the community that surrounds your marriage. There is a group of people that should be walking through your marriage with you. If you find yourself married and doing life alone, you're missing it. And here's what the Bible actually says about it. Proverbs 11:14. I love the Message version of this verse. It says, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. I like that. The better your chances. And so today we're talking about the marriage team. Like any good sports team, you're going to go further. You're going to go faster with a good team. You're going to have coaches looking into your life to say, hey, you missed that. You would have never seen it, but someone else is watching you. And so they're able to speak into it. You have teammates practicing with you, making you better, learning from each other, and doing life together. And so today, as we talk about this community, this marriage team, there really is three different connections that we want to highlight today. And I know what we've written down. I know what we're about to say. And it's nothing that's going to blow your mind. Oh, that is so profound. But I know us. We have a tendency to drift. And sometimes you hear a message like this, a talk like this, and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's an area in my life that I begin to let slip. That was a good reminder. So our hope is we're going to give you a nice reminder of what a well-balanced marriage team is and some very practical ways to apply this to your own relationships. Sound good?
Yeah, great.
All right, so that first relationship you need is marriage mentors. Marriage mentors. And one of the perks of this position that I'm in as a discipleship pastor as opposed to being youth pastor is I work more with adults and they like to golf more. Right? It's no longer, hey, come to my middle school soccer game. It's like, hey, let's go to Mount Sinai and play nine holes. And I absolutely love it. I love it. And so I've quickly became friends with Walt Nelson. And he loves golf. And he, whether I want him to be a mentor or not, is going to be my golf mentor because he wants me to be a better golfer. I think I embarrass him a bit when I golf with him at the club. And so he's like, Kev, let me just help you. And so he's been speaking into my life and speaking into my golf life. And I've actually gotten a lot better this year. I've been playing more. And, you know, I've been putting these tips into my own golf game and feeling really good about it. And I think that was the problem. I started feeling a bit overconfident. I'm like, I'm kind of getting good at this. And we had a date night just a couple weeks ago. And I told Jamie, I go, hey, I've got a great date night idea. Let's go mini golf. Thinking, man, I've really upped my game here. This is going to be a slam dunk and it's going to be fun. To a legit course, we went out to Rainbow Run and out in Redmond. And I told Jamie, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 10 strokes. 10 strokes. And the loser cleans the other person's car, right? Just to make it fun. And lo and behold.
That was my idea.
Yeah, here she is. Jamie, without the 10 strokes, was ahead of me by one stroke going into the hole 18. And I ended up beating her on that last hole to make us even for the round. So I barely caught up to my wife in mini golf, and then with her 10 strokes, just absolutely demolished me. And I go, I did not see that coming. I was telling Jamie, I go,
who hadn't golfed since like elementary school, so.
Right. I was going, you know, I'm a terrible putter. And she's like, that's actually kind of rude. You know, I could just be good. And so whatever it is, probably a combination of the two. The reason I share that story is because it highlights humility. In any mentorship relationship, you need humility because there are things that you are going to recognize that you're not as good as you thought you were. And these mentors who are going to speak into your life, you won't be able to receive it or ask questions if you aren't ready to receive it, if you don't have that attitude of humility. They bring wisdom and experience we don't have. They bring practical tools for us to use in relationship. In our premarital counseling, we still use those tools today in our marriage. And it's having that other person that you can ask questions or even be a tiebreaker. You ever get in that standstill with your spouse and you go, I'm right and they're right. Well, we call this mentor couple and we go, okay, tell us what we need to do. I still remember calling him up one day. I was so mad because we did a dinner date and Jamie completely ignored me the whole date. And it was with another couple. She's like, this is the other couple. They're a little bit older than us. We should be paying attention to them. I go, no, I'm driving up here. Let's pay attention to me too. And I was mad. So I call my mentor and I go, hey, Pastor Matt, you'll never believe what Jamie did. And I was telling him the whole story and how she ignored me and how mad I was. And I was like, what you said didn't work. And he goes, let me tell you, Kev, there's two things I need to highlight right now. Number one, you have a jealousy issue. We need to work on that.
Good.
Number two, you have a communication issue. Why did you not talk through this with your wife? And I said, that is not the message I wanted. That's not the feedback. I wanted someone to say, yeah, you're right, Kev. Yeah, let's gang up essentially on Jamie and let her know how she messed up. And he totally calls me out. I go, hey, I thought you were on my side here. He goes, no, I'm a mentor. I'm gonna call the truth as it is. And the Bible talks about this. 1 Peter 5, it says, in all you do, all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. The quickest way to put God against your marriage, right? Is to say, I got this. It's pride. I don't need help. I don't need someone speaking to my life. That's somebody you don't want opposing your marriage. The opposite is true, though. The quickest way to bring God into your marriage, to bring his help into your marriage, is to say, you know what, I do need help. And you take on this position of humility. And then all of a sudden, God begins to use people and mentors to speak into your life. And Jamie, you've had some great mentors right here at Church on the Ridge.
Yeah, when we first came to Church on the Ridge, I didn't have a quote-unquote mentor, but I joined the prayer team that meets here on, back then it met on Thursday mornings at 6 in the morning. And I'd come in and I'd meet with, you know, 6 or 7 other ladies who were 15 years older than me and way farther along in their walk with Jesus. And I would sit there and I would pray with them. And what would happen is I would listen to them communicate with God in a way that I didn't even know was possible. And it would start to make me want to communicate with God that way and make me want to draw closer to Christ. And I started to find myself more hungry and with an expectation that I could grow and become in a better relationship with Jesus. And over the course of a couple years, it's like these ladies would pray for me, they'd encourage me, and really help me grow closer to Jesus just by joining a prayer group. And so it doesn't always have to be that like one person who you're reaching out to as a mentor. Now I get the honor of meeting with Sandy, and she is an incredible mentor. You know, one thing is she has a husband who's a pastor, so she understands some of the pressure that I feel or the things that I'm going through. But the most important thing about that relationship is that she is farther along in her walk with Christ than me, and that she will tell me what I need to hear, regardless of if I want to hear it or not. So,
and that always doesn't feel good.
No.
But
and
you need it.
Yes, exactly. It's what I need. It's, you know, it's the whole purpose of the relationship is for someone to sharpen you and to draw you closer to Jesus. And I leave those meetings and I go sit in my car and I have a little journal and I'm just like writing notes of all the things that she said to me that I want to, you know, I don't want to forget. And so that mentor relationship, you want someone who's going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And you want someone who knows Jesus and who's going to encourage you with your walk with Christ.
It's good.
I know there's some other things you wanted to.
No, that's great. Okay. I love hearing about your mentors, and I'll help you guys in your notes here too. So what to look for in a mentor is look for someone who's going to be honest with you, mm-hmm. who's not afraid to speak the truth no matter how you're going to react or how you receive it. That honest feedback is critical. Second thing, look for someone who actually sees into your potential, mm-hmm. right? Look for someone who wants you to succeed, who wants to encourage you. And the third thing is this, look for someone who's successful in your eyes. Because if you think that they're successful in this area, you're going to respect what they say. Mm-hmm. You've been stuck with a teacher you didn't like or a coach you don't respect, right? You're not going to listen to them. But as you look around, you go, no, like you said, Sandy, man, I respect. She's done it well. That's someone I want to learn from. When they do speak into your life, it's going to be that much more meaningful. And then the fourth thing is make sure they have that same foundation as you. If you're trying to make Jesus Lord, then find someone else who's trying to make Jesus Lord. So they, when they're giving you that feedback and that wisdom, it can come from that same heart that reflects the heart of the Father. So as you begin to look for these mentors, recognize some of the people around you who you begin to admire, who you see, oh, I see something in them that I wish I was where they were at. And as you begin to meet with them, let me just give you two quick tips. Number one, don't make it weird. Don't be like, hey, let's start this formal mentor relationship. Be proactive. Take them out to coffee. Take them out to lunch. Take them out golfing. And just ask questions. Make sure if you find yourself doing all the talking, you've done it wrong. Okay? Ask them the questions and get them talking. I've always got a question to ask, and I'm always going to be asking because I want to learn. I'm going to continue to learn from these people in my life. And the second thing is this. This is critical. If they give you instruction, do what they say. There's nothing more frustrating, and just speaking from the other side for a moment, to say, here's your next step. And then the next time you meet, they've not done that next step. You go, I'm wasting my time. But when you take, hey, I've learned something, and I'm applying it to my life, it says I value them as a mentor, and I respect the time that they've been giving me. So remember, it's okay to ask for help in your marriage, right? In fact, the Bible tells us to do that. God opposes the proud. So begin thinking about who those couples are that you look up to and who you want to learn from. The second relationship I want to focus on is couples to do life together with. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another, acts of love, good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Sounds like a great concept. We've all learned that, oh yeah, we should have good couple friends, but that's not the easy thing to do, right? The easy thing to do is come home, get the kids to bed, watch Netflix, and go to sleep. And then on the weekend, you do DIY projects, do-it-yourself projects, like painting the fence. That's what I was doing all day. That's the easy thing to do. However, there's benefits that we've learned from hanging out with these friends. And no matter how much you love your spouse, no matter how well you get along, you need other people in your life. You need people we found that will pray bigger prayers than you're praying as a couple, that will challenge you to raise your perspective. Or sometimes you get so emotionally charged about something that your couple friends can then speak into it because they know you and they have good perspective for you. And they're going to help you when you need help. I can't tell you how many meals we've gotten from our friends. Whether it's a newborn or a sick or a transition or coming around me, they're there to help you. And they're fun, right? These relationships are, we should have some fun in our lives. And these other couple friends are ways to do that. So here's the $1 million question, right? How do I connect with the right couple friends? How do I find those right connections? And we've got just a few tips for you here. Why don't you start with number one?
Yeah, the first one is you have to be willing to cut some relationships out of your life to make room for the ones that you need in your life.
Ouch.
yeah. And this isn't always easy to do, but one of the jokes Kevin and I have is we call it the Anna effect. And
It's not a joke. This is true.
Yeah, we call it the Anna effect because when we first were married, we had a couple friend, and the wife was named Anna, and she was just very encouraging.
We have a picture of here. Check this is Anna and Steve.
And they were just, just so encouraging. Like, she would talk so highly of her spouse, and it just made me want to talk more highly of Kevin. And when we hung out together, it was like there was just no tolerance for anyone not talking highly of their spouse because they were just so positive to be around. And it just made me want to be a better wife just being around her. So, and the opposite is true. If you're around someone who in a couple environment that is talking negatively of their spouse, especially in front of them, it just kind of makes the whole situation awkward and it does not make you grow closer together at all. Sorry, I'm losing this. So you have to be willing to cut some of those relationships out of your life that aren't going to be helping you grow in the right way.
That's right. It's the Anna effect, right? And that can be hard. But tell them the tip that Sandy gave you about being strategic with your relationships.
Oh, yeah. So this is...
this is good.
This is so good. So one of the first things she told me to do was, she's like, you need to be strategic with your time. On your calendar needs to be, first your time with Jesus, then your time with your spouse, and then the time with those other couples that you want to spend time with that are going to help build your relationship. And then after that, everything else falls into place and, the serving or the whatever, then you fill in your time with those. If you don't be strategic with your time, you're not going to have time for those important relationships. Yeah. And that is so true. And it's been the best advice and it's helped us really grow in the relationships we wanted to grow in.
Yeah. So it's okay. Cut those relationships. Schedule the important ones first. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is put yourself in position to have opportunity to meet these couples. So be a part of a community group, because when you're in a community group, you know that if you're in this group, there's at least somewhat of a desire to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. So all of a sudden you find yourself around other couples who are trying to grow in the same direction as you.
Yeah.
And again, just like you talked about being strategic, even outside of group time, if there's a couple in our group, I see Steve and Ashley back here, and when they first joined our group, we try to hang out with them, and we still love hanging out with them, right? And have them over for dinner or go golfing. We went golfing, and it's because that's a couple we identified that we wanted to connect with, and then we're strategic with our time to connect with them. And then here's the third one is, you can do that.
Yeah,
one.
Spend time with them even when you're busy.
Oh, wait, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
We have a marriage retreat coming up at the end of August. Okay, the people attending the marriage retreat, why do you think they're going to the marriage retreat? Because they want strong marriages. You want to be around other couples and meet other couples who want strong marriages, just like we're talking about, like Anna. You need to be at that marriage retreat. Like the Richters will be there, you know that. And so you go, okay, here's a couple that I want to model after. I want to get to know. I want to begin rubbing shoulders with. So if that is like, hey, should I go to this? Go to it. Be at that marriage retreat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So number three, spend time. Make sure you're spending time with those couples, even when you're busy. And we had a really funny thing happen this past weekend. That's just a great example of this. Oh, so,
yeah. So we're getting ready and we're going to our friend's house because it's hot out. It's the one hot day, right? Last week. And so we're going to go swimming with them. And so we're getting ready, get all our stuff ready. And I come downstairs and my five-year-old is asleep, which is bad news because right. He does not wake up well. Like, he wakes up swinging.
Yeah.
So you watch out. Yeah. And my two-year-old, my firecracker, is yelling about, I don't even know what. I think yeah. She hit her toe or something. But she's just screaming and he's sleeping. And so we're waking him up and lo and behold, he comes up swinging, right? I'm like, well, easy, bud. Like, I love you, but you got to rein it in right now. Yeah. And we're just trying to go hang out with our friends.
Yeah.
And we finally get him in the car and we get out to their house. And before we even go on, we're like, let's just pray as a family because this is not going well. Yeah. And
they're just crying.
You think prayer works this
there.
Time? It didn't, just, but you know.
Yeah.
But tell them what happened as soon as we walked through the door.
Yeah, well, we sat in the parking lot for a while,
yeah.
Like 10 or 15 minutes, and literally contemplated not going in. Like, I was like, this is just too much. Like, we're both just so drained. I'm like, this is just bad. But once we walked inside, it was interesting. You know, Benjamin and Lucy, they're off to see their friends. And I see my friend, and it's just like, you know, it's like refreshing. We're here, and we made it, and this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we spent 2 hours and left feeling refreshed and yeah. renewed and encouraged. And we came in feeling depleted and like
yeah.
we wanted to sell our kids. So it was a really, really good choice.
That's a joke. Just yeah. so you all know.
A joke.
Yeah.
But I mean, feelings aren't fact.
Right.
That's what Kevin tells me.
Yeah. So your friends are important. And if you get outside that friend group and you're not doing life with other people, I just imagine it's like being outside the herd, right? And the lion comes and who does he eat, right? Not the one in the middle of the herd, mm-hmm. the one that has been stranded.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you find yourself in a relationship with your spouse and you are not doing life with couples, with other people, you are vulnerable. Your marriage is in jeopardy just right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible even talks about this in 1 Peter 5. It says, stay alert. There's a great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's not going to devour the person who has community, who's within that safety of the herd. He's going to find the person who's isolated and who's by themselves. Guys, this marriage team is critical. So remember, right? You can't do life alone. You need to connect with other couples. They're going to give you encouragement, accountability, and sometimes you even have to cut certain relationships so that you have room for the relationships that you need in your marriage. So think about it. If you're not in a community group right now, why not? Why would you put arguably one of the most important relationships in your life at a risk for not being in community? And if you are in a group, hey, who are the couples in your group that maybe we need to press into that relationship a bit more? All right, here's the last one, and then we'll close today. But the third one is someone to pour into. So you've got a mentor speaking into you. You've got friends that you're doing life with, and then there's somebody that you're pouring into. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Who are you teaching and counseling with the wisdom that you're learning and you're growing in?
Great.
Pouring into someone else will actually accelerate your growth as a couple. And God will then begin to use your marriage to bless and to instruct and to counsel other marriages. And I was thinking about this parable, the parable of the talent, right? The master gives 5 talents and 3 talents and 1 talent to his different servants. He leaves, he comes back, and the servant with 1 talent didn't do anything with it. And the master was mad. Hey, why didn't you do it? You could have at least put it in the bank where you got some investment. And sometimes I feel like that as a couple. You know, sometimes you look at our own marriage and go, what do we have to offer? We're maybe a 1 talent marriage. Even a 1 talent marriage has something to offer. And you may be a 3 talent marriage. You may be a 5 talent marriage. I don't know. You may be a 10 talent marriage. But I promise you, every single person in this room tonight, you have something to offer to another couple. Even if it's simply connecting them to the right resource. Hey, come with me to church tonight. you've got to be part of this series. Hey, get in my group. I may not know the answers, but there's something about being in this group that I we're growing. And so you begin having these people that you're pouring into. And just to be really practical about this, if you feel like you're a one-talent couple or a five-talent, be a lifelong learner. Study marriage. There's no reason with the information we have access to that we should remain a one-talent marriage. There are so many books and seminars and series. Redo this Better Together series again once we get all six videos out. And then be intentional with other couples.
Yeah.
And this is something we found in our group.
Sorry,
be an intentional model for other couples.
Yeah. Within our own community group, there's a different age group in our group, and Kevin and I many times were just listening to the other couples talk about what they're going through in their relationship because it's just different than what we're dealing with. And so we're just kind of like soaking it up and tacking these things away because we know someday we're going to be there. And so just being in group with other couples and sharing honestly and transparently as you try to walk this walk with Jesus is inspiring to other people. We're constantly talking after group, after everyone's left, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe what they said. That was so cool. And you're just learning from the other people in your group. So you can be an intentional model just by being in a community group or really anywhere you go.
And sharing your experiences.
And sharing your experiences.
Even if it's what not to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. A third thing, a practical way to be a marriage is to remember that your marriage is so much bigger than you. God can use your marriage for his purpose if you're just willing to say yes and be available. And so many times I think we're intimidated because we don't feel like we're good enough or we're right enough or we have the perfect answer. And so in that vein, I want to talk about that. There are some misconceptions when it comes to mentorship that I just want to blow out of this water for a minute because when you begin investing into other people, it's this boomerang effect. You're giving it out, but it's coming right back to you. And just last few weeks ago, we were talking about getting ready for today. Mm-hmm. And we went to Ahar, the Indian restaurant. We love that place for lunch. And it just came up, and Jamie made the comment that, it's weird because sometimes, you know, some of my girlfriends actually know more about me than you do. And I went, wait, what?
You take offense to that. I didn't mean it so mean.
But she said, because they actually asked me questions like, how's your program going? Or how's it being a working mom? Or how are these type of relationships? And because they only have so much time with her, right? And so they're going to ask these high-level questions. And I go, well, I probably should start asking these questions more often. And so I took my notes and I put them down and I said, hey, Jamie, how's your program going? And she laughed at me, but we actually just started talking, and like the rest of the lot, we pretty much just talked about that. And I was like, I should probably ask this question more often. And so we almost laugh about it now, but almost I'll ask her, like, Jamie, how's it being a working mom today? And we'll laugh again, but it's so good. It's just things like that. As you're pouring into someone else, we're prepping to kind of pour into our church, right? And you're just reminded to be sharper. And you're reminded that, hey, we've actually begun to drift in this area. So these misconceptions. So misconception number one is, hey, I can't be a mentor because I'm not at least 83 years old.
Yeah.
That's simply not true. But you know what? If we were 83 years old, you know what we'd look like? She hasn't seen this yet. Do you have that picture? Is that there? That's what we're going to look like.
Nice. Nice.
Get ready for the neck rolls from me. That is incredible.
Get ready for the neck rolls. That's amazing.
You don't have to be 83 years old to mentor other people. The fact that the assumption that in order to be wise enough, you have to be old enough is simply not true. Mm-hmm. Simply not true. Ignore the age factor and focus on those people that you respect.
Yeah. And the second misconception is that mentors have to be perfect. I mean, I used to think this, like, oh, you have to be perfect to mentor someone. And it's just not true. Don't expect perfection, and don't try to be perfect. Just be transparent and lead someone towards Jesus.
Yeah, misconception number three, mentors have all the answers. That's simply not true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you actually need to connect someone you're pouring into to the right person, right? And your attitude should be, hey, I'm gonna come, and I'm going to bring what I do know and what I can bring. Yeah. And that's it. You don't have to have all the answers. So don't be intimidated by this fact that I may not be the most knowledgeable person in the room.
Yep. And the fourth thing is that the mentor process involves a curriculum. I mean, I love a good checklist, but mentorship doesn't need to be a checklist. It is really just gaining from someone else's life experience that's ahead of you.
So begin reflecting on this. What do you do well as a couple? What do you do well? And who do you know that you can begin pouring into? And that's the marriage team, right? I'm a mentor. I'm doing life with other people. And I'm pouring back into somebody else. And here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. When you're in a community group, you will actually take on all three of those roles. There will be times in group. I think of Matt and Sari Childs. They're awesome. And when it comes to finances and budgets and usually leadership things, they have spoken into our life in such fantastic ways. They are our mentor couple in that arena. But then there's times where we just do life together, right? We celebrated Jamie's birthday in Bellingham a few weeks ago, and we went with them, and we were slacklining, right? Because that's what you do in Bellingham. You slackline. If you don't know what slackline is, you can look it up. I have one. Like, you can borrow it. And then there's times when we actually get to speak into their life as well. And so it's this crazy thing where sometimes I'm the mentor, sometimes we're just being friends, and sometimes I'm pouring in to these people in my life. And Proverbs 11:14, right? Without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Marriage is not meant to be done alone. Any good athlete, has a great team around him to help him move further. Any great marriage has a marriage team around them. And so it's simply start by making that commitment of 1.5 hours a week. Right, I'm going to commit to my community group. I'm going to commit to my group. I'm going to be a part of this team. And I know actually many of you are in groups. And if you're already in a group, that is fantastic. You've already taken a strong first step in this marriage team. And if you haven't, you got to be a part of that team. But if you're in a group, begin thinking about, hey, what's the practical application here? What type of relationship am I missing from my complete marriage team? How can I begin fulfilling that role, even just within my own community group? So, love it. Thank you for spending time with us tonight. Jamie, why don't you pray for our marriages today?
Okay, will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this night and the opportunity we have had to learn about marriage and grow closer to you and closer to each other. And I pray for the marriages in this room, God, that you would remind us every day what we need to do to be a spouse who is loving and committed to each other. And so I pray that you would show us who we can, if we don't have a mentor, Lord, you would help us identify someone who can speak into our lives. And God, if we need couples, other couples who are going to help us grow closer to you, that you would show us who those are. And you would give us the boldness to reach out to them and schedule things to do with them, God. And I pray also that you would reveal the people in our life, Lord, that are just hurting our relationships, God. Help us to be strong and be able to cut those relationships out of our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would also show us the people that we can be reaching out to and mentoring, Lord, that you would reveal those people to us. And God, I also pray just for the marriage in this room, Lord, who's losing hope. I just pray that today you would remind them, God, that you can do the impossible. And you would show them today the one step they need to take to grow closer to you. And we just give you this night. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.